Hello and welcome to another episode of Insanely Criminal. I'm Emma.
And I'm Jem.
And it's been a while, actually. It's been a good few weeks since we last did one. But I could not tell you where the last 2 weeks have gone. It's been an absolute blur with work and everything, life. So,
yeah. I mean, I was off for that week, but it was just, I had to take that week to try and forget about the previous other weeks at work, just to try and get over it. Yeah, so we've just been very, very busy and very tired.
Yes.
Not tired. Feeling very murdery.
No, and just, I think a break was what we needed, but we're back, we're ready. We're feeling somewhat energised.
Yeah. Are we trying to trick ourselves to believe that we're really energetic?
I am absolutely not energised. I am, like, almost, like, laid down on the sofa at the moment, so.
I left work quite late today. Usually I'm quite good. I leave as soon as that bell goes, I'm out. But I stayed and had a chat, and I was like, oh, I really wanted to get a beer. Mm. So I didn't have time to get a beer, and I really wanted one.
See, my day. I really want a beer now. But as I said to you earlier, I'm going to try and not drink until the next England game, which is on Friday. But we'll see, because I do really fancy a beer now.
I know. And I keep thinking, I know it's only Tuesday, but I keep thinking it's Wednesday. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's not long till the weekend, but it really is a long way away.
But it's like, I keep making up excuses like, well, the weather's nice and it's almost my birthday, the football's on. So I'm like, any excuse to drink, really.
Well, that's the thing. I've been trying to get people at work to come out on a Friday. I mean, not this Friday. I'm going to stay in because we're off somewhere on the weekend.
We are indeed.
But that I'm like, is oh, a who wants...
reminder.
Like, who wants a drink on Friday? And everyone's like, what for? And, we got through another week. We got through another week. And everyone's like, well, we can stay up 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, God. I was like, okay, I'm the only alky here now.
So, that's just like a really good little reminder for me to not get really drunk after the England match on Friday, because I need to be okay for Saturday now. So thank you for that.
We'll see. I think I'm gonna get a text like quite late on saying that you're still out.
I might even message the people I'm going out with and saying, right, don't let me stay out for ages, because I do have to be up and out quite early. So please. But then they'll see it's like a personal challenge to maybe stay out as long as possible, probably.
That's the thing, isn't it?
You're like, oh, well, if you stay out, I'll buy you another drink. Yeah, right. I'm so easily persuaded.
I am as well. Yeah, it doesn't take much for me anymore.
Nah.
Definitely not. I think it's the job. And the pandemic has just turned me into an animal.
The never-ending pandemic.
Well, it definitely is never-ending now, because hasn't it been delayed? Freedom Day delayed by another month.
Yep. I was thinking about this, though, and I'm just... not that... apart from, I guess, it's hospitality who's really feeling the pinch on this one, because it was going to be that I didn't really realise what it meant, but I think it would have meant that, like, table service and pub capacities and sitting down and mass was all going to go. I didn't know it was quite that severe. That's how much they were going to unlock it. So now I'm a bit like, is it maybe the right thing to extend? But then, on the other hand, I'm like, well, pretty much vaccinated all the vulnerable people, so
yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it?
That was the point.
Yep, but it's not happening now.
Nah.
But I was getting quite cocky the other week, saying to people in work, "Let's get rid of these masks, guys. We've had no cases in the county for weeks, I think it had been a couple of months, actually, since we had a case.
Wow.
But now we have the Delta variant knocking around about 10 miles from where I live. One of the schools, one of the other secondary schools, 2 full years are off because of the Delta variant. So
that's not good.
No, so I'm anticipating it now for us all to get it.
Well, I was working in Manchester last week and actually going into the office, and it got to, so I was supposed to be there all week, and it got to Tuesday afternoon and I saw the news about like Manchester, and I'm like, I don't think I want to come back tomorrow, guys, if that's all right. I think I'm just going to stay at home.
Definitely. It's the safest thing to do. It's like, it's not worth the risk. But where you and I are going on Saturday, I went there a few weeks ago, and it's the safest I have felt throughout the entire pandemic.
That's really good to know.
Yeah. The only time I wore a mask is when I went on the train, obviously, and into shops. Everywhere, I mean, on loads of street corners, there were like little tiny marquees doing tests for anyone who wanted them. There was a shop in the shopping area that had been converted to a testing place. So I would say it's one of the safest places to go.
Excellent. Yeah. So I was looking, I was a bit worried because I saw something on the news that mentioned it. But then I've looked at the rate and I'm like, it's actually lower than Bradford and Leeds. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, actually, maybe it's better if I go there.
Right, if we go there now on Saturday and we both come back with this Delta variant.
No, because it's my birthday next week. I am not isolating for my birthday. You can forget it. I've got big, I say big plans. I've got some plans. I don't have big plans, but I've got some plans. Some involves seeing people. So,
but the thing is, I was telling someone in work the other day about you and I going out for the day. Like every time we've tried to plan this, something has happened. So, wasn't it 2 days before we were supposed to go last year? And we went on the national lockdown. I'm sure it was.
Oh, no, it was. We were supposed to go on the 21st of March. And we went into full lockdown on the 23rd of March.
Yeah.
But I think it was because at that point, I'd already been told to work from home and told that I couldn't travel to Manchester and stuff. So I was like, is it really wise for me to go anywhere, knowing that, for all intents and purposes, work are telling me to stay at home?
Yeah.
So then there was that. Then we were going to go to Menzingers as well, and then you couldn't come.
Yeah.
So it was just like, cursed. Third time's a charm.
Yeah, this week has to happen.
Yeah.
And I still, I mean, you've had your nice t-shirt today. Mine hasn't shown up yet, and no. I'm so annoyed.
Well, I looked at it and the return address is Leeds. So I'm like, okay.
Oh.
It's only coming from
say next
9 miles away. Next, it's not far. It's not far. 10 minutes on the train.
Yeah, it's much further for me.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping mine comes soon. I was looking forward to coming home today and putting it on after work because it was so hot.
Oh, shall we wear it? Shall we both wear it on Saturday?
Well, yeah, because I've got the black one and you've got the white one.
Do that.
We really should.
I bought the tote bag as well.
Did you?
I might take the tote bag to use on Saturday and not wear the t-shirt. Yeah,
you'll have to. Oh, what bag can I take?
Oh, look at us talking about bags.
I know. Matching tops. We've leveled up now. But shall we get on with this lovely case?
Yep, let's do it.
You've now said it's my thing where I cover these horrible ones.
The gruesome ones, yeah.
But I don't know if I'd class this one as overly gruesome.
We shall see.
Yeah, I think I'm just desensitized to everything now, where I'm just like, oh, it's not that bad. But so, on the evening of July 11th, 2011, in Borough Park, New York, Yakov German received a phone call from his brother, who said, "There is a boy missing in the community. You have to come and help." Yakov German was well known in Borough Park and was once involved with a volunteer group called the Shomrim. So Shomrim is Hebrew for watchers or guards, and the South Brooklyn Division was set up in the 1980s by Jacob Daskal. So a fun fact about Jacob Daskal, at some point he was arrested for sexual assault, which isn't good if you're, you know, in the Shomrim, obviously, if you're called a watcher. So the group was first known as the Bakery Boys, as it consisted of late-night bakers in the area who kept watch for car break-ins. Their main command centre is in a tire shop, and they say they receive 100 phone calls a day and are made up of 150 volunteers.
Wow.
I know. I didn't know anything about this group at all. Nope. Until I looked into this case, and I thought, how interesting.
Mm-hmm.
To have something like that, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
So Yakov German cut ties with the Shomrim and said his energies would be better spent by going freelance. And he had tracked down a lot of criminals in his time. And in 2003, he ran past dozens of firefighters in order to save children from a house that was engulfed in flames. He was also about to clash with the Shomrim again. But to find out why, we need to start at the beginning on July 11th, 2001. So that's a little tiny intro. So Borough Park, it's like a huge Jewish community. Kind of like Williamsburg. Okay. If anyone listening's ever been to Williamsburg, it's really nice to walk around there, and you feel very, very safe. Well, at least I did. So, are we ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
You sure?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. So, Yehuda Kletsky, also known as Leiby, was born on July 29th, 2002. And he was the third of six children, born to mother Esti and father Nachman. And they lived in the heavily Orthodox Jewish community in Borough Park, Brooklyn. Borough Park is regarded as a safe community. The members of the Jewish community all look out for each other. There are low crime rates and large families. Children are taught to be independent from a young age, so as to help their mothers with duties such as looking after younger siblings. So it was no surprise when Leiby asked his mother if he could walk a few blocks home by himself after a day camp at his school called Yeshiva Boyan. His mother Esti was reluctant, but she had hatched the plan. On July 10th, she practiced the walk from school with Leiby to a predetermined spot a few blocks away where Esti would be waiting for him. Leiby was to walk from his day camp on 44th Street to meet his mother on 50th Street. But on July 11th, after day camp ended, Leiby forgot to make a turn and went in the wrong direction. By 6:14 p.m., there was still no sign of Leiby, and so his family decided to call the Shomrim. At 8:30 p.m., the Shomrim contacted the NYPD, who declared a level one search, which would involve sniffer dogs and police helicopters.
Oh, God, okay.
I know. And 5,000 Orthodox Jewish volunteers went block by block searching for Leiby.
Wow.
So that's very, very quickly. Like, that's 2 hours after they reported him missing.
And yeah.
That's what they've got on the streets, it's...
I mean, that's really good, but that would be quite disconcerting as a parent, wouldn't it? You'd be like, it's great that you are, like, on this, but it makes you think, oh, God, something terrible must have happened to him.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I think when I see a large police presence, it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't make me feel safe like it might do a normal person.
Well, it makes you think something's happening, which it generally is. So.
Well, it definitely is here. If you hadn't already guessed.
Go on, tell me.
This is where Jakob German comes back into play. After he received the phone call from his brother, he spoke with the Shomrim and said that they should start at 44th Street, the last place they know for sure where Libby was. The Shomrim had other ideas, however, and so German said, "I knew I would have to do it myself." Ooh, you go, Jakob German.
Wow.
At 11:30 p.m., he made his way to Yeshiva Boyan, and with the help of his son, who was an instructor there, he was able to gain access to the footage from a security camera facing 44th Street. Jakob German sat through 2 hours of footage, seeing countless numbers of boys wearing yarmulkes, until he finally saw Libby, who was carrying a satchel and wearing a backpack. Jakob German went home, where he recited the Torah for hours and hours to calm his nerves, but he knew he had a job to do. He decided that the next morning he would work his way down 44th Street and ask every business on the street for their camera footage so that he could trace Libby. He had made a promise to Libby's father that he would find him. I know, I know, but it's so sad too, isn't it? It's stuff like that. I hate when it's cases like this, when the people investigating it make promises to the family to find them.
Because most often it doesn't have a happy ending.
No, and this one definitely doesn't, otherwise we would not be, we're not writing talked about happy cases here.
No,
fortunately. So Jakob German sat through more footage, and this showed that Libby did miss his turn. Instead of turning at 13th Avenue, he carried straight on down 44th Street. A video showed him walking past a Shomrim locksmith on 15th Avenue, and he was picked up again on 17th Avenue. On 18th Avenue, however, he was seen outside of a dentist office, where he appeared to be talking to a man. He was then seen going into the dentist office, and a few moments later, he came out and got into the car with the man. But who was the man? To find out, we have to go all the way back to 1987. It's quite a long time ago.
Before I was born.
don't brag, I was three. In 1987, a then 10-year-old boy named Levi Aaron was knocked off his bike, and he claims that his accident changed him throughout his life, although he always gave differing reasons as to why. Levi was regarded as a shy and withdrawn child. He grew up in a large family who split their time between Brooklyn and Monsey, which is a Jewish settlement in upstate New York. But he now lived in Kensington, which is on the border of the Borough Park community. His parents were extremely devout Orthodox Jews, but Levi was not. He would always tell friends that he was not of that world. He clashed quite often with his father, Jack, who he said liked to talk over everyone, and Levi became a stranger in his own family. He would spend hours and hours listening to pop music, which he said was his only comfort apart from his mother. But listening to pop music was forbidden in the religion, and his father told him frequently that he should spend his time devoting himself to God and prayer. Which is great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the it's like a mini series on Netflix called Unorthodox.
I have not, no.
It's very, very good, and it's based on like real events, and it's kind of about this community in Williamsburg, I'm sure. And it's eye-opening, because I don't think you realize what like the Orthodox world is like. It's just like, now we found out that he couldn't listen to pop music, but women, I'm sure, are not allowed to sing in public or in front of men, because it's almost as if they're told that it's like flirting with a man, like you're trying to seduce men by singing. Wow. And yeah, and when you get married, this girl in Unorthodox, they shave all your hair off if you're a woman, and like you wear a wig. You can't have any of your natural hair. It's just...
how odd.
I mean, I won't call it mad, but it's just... I don't know how to describe it.
Unorthodox. Think...
yeah. well, yeah. But, I mean, you learn about Judaism when you're younger, but then you're not taught about like the Orthodox world, and it's, I find it really fascinating. Like, I find religion fascinating, even though I'm not a big fan of religion.
No, I know what you mean. I like to learn about different religions, because it's just, some of the ideas are so far from, you know, what you and I know. It is interesting. Yeah. And it's interesting to find out how, like, how devout some people are, and things that we would think that's ridiculous. They're like, well, that's my religion, and that's just how I've been brought up.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I don't think that religion is for me.
No, nor me.
You know, I like to seduce men with my amazing singing. That has never happened and never will. So Levi Aaron spent 3 years at high school, and he watched his older brother excel in everything academically. But this was not the case for Levi. He left high school without even obtaining his GED, and he moved into a basement of a house in Kensington. His father arranged for him to start work in a Hasidic-owned hardware store called Empire State Supply, which was only half a mile from Leiby's school, Yeshiva Boyan. Although the manager had Levi working in the back, taking inventory and out of the way of customers' view, some of his colleagues referred to him as a lunatic genius because of his ability to remember everything about the stock. He knew absolutely everything about it. Like, his brain was a spreadsheet.
Wow.
I know. Levi had been married twice, but both of these marriages ended in divorce. One of his wives said that he was not insane. He was just full of rage and anger. I would guess he would be full of rage. And, I mean, I'm not going to make any excuses for this guy, but he would be full of the rage and anger because he felt so out of place in a very, very Orthodox household, that he probably felt like he couldn't leave, which I suppose would drive you insane. But again, I'm not going to make any excuses for this guy. So before July 11th, Levi Aaron had led a pretty straight-laced life, and the worst thing he had ever done was being fined for public urination. So we've got a pretty good grasp on this guy, Levi Aaron. Mm. All in all, he's just odd. I think that's the only way you could describe him, is odd. But let's get back to the search for Leiby. On July 12th, So Borough Park now looked like an encampment full of police, shamrim and volunteers with maps, hell-bent on finding Libby. So we know Yakov German had sat through hours of tape, but some of the business owners on 44th Street had had their CCTV disconnected a long time ago, and now most of them were serving merely as ornaments. Yakov German was then told to try Tri-State Fleet, as he was tipped off that the owner was a security freak. His words, not mine.
Security freak? Wow.
It's definitely not me. After what we were talking about before. Yes, this is not us. So he was certain, because this guy was a security freak, quote unquote, he would definitely have footage. And the owner, despite being this security freak, had to get a friend to operate the security system because he had no idea how to use it. His friend came and looked it all up for Yakov, and this is when he saw a little boy who was disoriented. It was clearly Libby who was leaning on a fence. This is when a man approached him, wearing a cap, and then led Libby into a nearby parked Honda. So we know that they saw Libby leave a dentist with this man, which is when Yakov German went to the dentist to ask the receptionist if they recognised the man in the footage. And she said he came in on July 11th to pay a bill, and she gave Yakov German his name, which was, of course, Levi Aaron. Police also had a tip-off from volunteers that they had found the Honda in question and the plates matched the same name. Again, it was Levi Aaron. Police went straight to his address at 2 a.m, where they were met with an open door. They asked Levi where the boy was. Levi nodded towards the kitchen, where the police were met with blood-stained towels and carving knives in bags.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I hope everyone has eaten. Yeah, maybe don't eat right there with what I'm about to say. So, as well as the stained towels and carving knives in the bags, the severed feet of Libby were found in the freezer, and Levi told police where they could find the rest of him.
Oh, wow. Okay, just admits to it straight away. Okay.
He was very casual about it, apparently.
Wow.
I know. So Levi sent them to a dumpster where they found the remains of 8-year-old Libby in a red suitcase. I know. It's so horrible, this case, but... But Levi Aaron gave a 450-word confession about what happened on July 11th. He said he saw Libby, who asked him for directions. He then said Libby wanted to go to a bookstore, and so he gave him a ride. Before they could make it to the bookstore, Levi suggested that they go to a wedding in Muncie, New York. Which did happen. I know. And that did actually happen, because Levi Aaron was seen there. But there was no signs of Libby at the wedding, only at a gas station. So at this point in the wedding, I don't know if Libby would have still been alive, or... I mean, they only have, like, this 450-word confession about what's happened. So Levi said that they returned home at 11:20 p.m. and said he told Libby that he would take him back home in the morning, as it was getting late. The next day, he said he saw that there was a search party looking for a small boy in the community, and says this is when he panicked. He went back to his apartment where he had left Libby. He said he smothered Libby with a towel, dismembered him and stuffed his body into a suitcase. I know. It's just so horrific. And if, I mean, I'll put a picture, obviously, because when we post this on social media, there's always a picture of the victim and, of course, the criminal. But Libby was so cute too. He was like really cute. And for an 8-year-old, like, I have very, very tall kids, so I struggle to think what normal 8-year-olds look like. But he just looked like the sweetest kid you've ever seen in your life.
Aww.
I know, it's horrible. There were no signs of sexual assault on Libby whatsoever, and it was deemed that Levi and Libby were unknown to each other before July 11th. The autopsy was held on July 20th, and this is where a number of different drugs were found in Libby's system, including pain medication, antipsychotics, and a muscle relaxant. It was deemed that these were used before Levi smothered Libby to death. So I'm guessing he wanted him to be knocked out, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Even so, that's a lot of drugs to give an 8-year-old, very small 8-year-old child. It's just, it's horrid. But Aaron appeared at Brooklyn Criminal Court on July 14th, where he pled not guilty of all things.
What?
And I thought
he'd already confessed, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Then suddenly he's just like, actually, I didn't actually confess.
Yeah, and that's what annoys me with these people, when they confess and then they plead not guilty. It's just, what is the point? It really is annoying. But his lawyer stated that he suffered from hallucinations, so he was sent to a prison ward at Bellevue Hospital for a psychiatric evaluation.
Classic story.
I know. That's what always happens.
Yeah.
So why not plead guilty by reason of insanity rather than not guilty because of hallucinations?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it when people do this. Like,
no.
I mean, I don't plan on killing anybody, but I don't think I'd be trying to use the insanity defense, like, to try and get out of it. Just plead guilty. That would be my top tip for everybody. Just grass yourself up. So, Levi Aaron's lawyers claimed that he used music as a way to drown out the voices in his head. I mean, okay.
And he couldn't listen to music when he was a kid. Yeah.
I know, it's almost like Footloose. After the autopsy findings were released on July 20th, Levi was indicted on 8 counts of murder and kidnapping, including 2 counts of first-degree murder, 3 counts of second-degree murder, 2 counts of first-degree kidnapping, and 1 count of second-degree kidnapping. And the day after this indictment, one of his lawyers resigned, as he said he could not defend Levi in court as the allegations were far too horrific.
That'd be me. That'd be definitely me. I'd be like, you're on your own, mate. I'm sorry, I'm resigning from the law profession. That is what you have done to me.
Yeah, that would be me too. There's a guy who lives in my town. His son is like a defense lawyer in like a big city. I won't say where, but I'm like, how do you defend people that you know full well that these people have done it? It's like, well, I get paid a lot of money to defend them. But I just couldn't. I couldn't stick up for somebody who I knew 100% had committed a crime, especially a crime like this. And so I'm glad that that lawyer said, no thanks, I'm out.
Absolutely.
horrible. So results of his psychiatric evaluation were back and said that Levi suffered from an adjustment disorder and had a blank personality.
Blank personality.
Same.
Okay.
A psychologist diagnosed him as having a schizoid personality disorder. So they get all of these different diagnoses for all these different things. But, I mean, who knows? But it did come out that his sister had been hospitalised at one point for schizophrenia, and she died while she was, like, still in hospital. Which isn't great, and I think also, I think it came out that there was a long family history of, like, schizophrenia. So it kind of makes sense that he would possibly. But then would that just be something easy to use as a defence?
It always is, isn't it? It's always, I mean, we talked about this before, that does it have to be something like that that drives people to do things like that? Or is it just that some people are just evil and they'll just say anything to try and absolve themselves of any responsibility?
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, like I said before, I think Levi Aaron was just odd. Definitely odd. Like, he didn't fit into any part of his life. He didn't succeed like his brothers. But then, again, like, none of this is ever. I will never stick up for someone, I think, for doing this. Which is what we saw with Andrea Yates. Remember, she drowned her 5 kids in the bath.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of them where it's like, oh, do I stick up for her because she was so, so ill? Or do I not, because she did something so horrific? But I think with this one, I can't stand up for him, even though he definitely has some kind of disorder. It's always a tricky one, I think. But still. Yeah, in case anyone's listening and thinking, well, there wasn't much, it wasn't that gruesome. It's because there wasn't that many details released about it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. Another one I've never heard of.
Yeah, I had to really fish this one out. I heard about it a couple of years ago somewhere. And then I was like, oh, I'll look back into that because it was interesting religion-wise. But yeah, it's not that gruesome because there's not that many details. The more details are more about the investigation than anything.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, no one wants to hear that many gory details about
children. Not about something like that.
No, definitely not. So, Levi was held at Rikers Island, the notorious Rikers Island, where he gave his first media interview. He did not mention Libby by name and kept calling his murder the, quote, incident.
Oh, my God. That's like something out of a film.
I know.
The incident.
Exactly. It's like, that incident.
That's so disrespectful to his parents and family as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he was asked to, like, why did you do it? Like, this was a child. And he couldn't answer the question, but he just said, I thought I knew him.
Ooh.
But I don't get that. Like, why would that mean that you could take this kid? Like, you gave him a ride to a bookstore, but then you were like, no, let's go to a wedding. And then it's late. So you didn't take him home.
To suggest.
Yeah, it's all this, like, he could have had, he had so many chances to take Libby home, but he didn't, and then killed him because he panicked. When he could have just said, here he is. It's just, it's horrid. After over a year since Libby's senseless murder, a plea bargain was struck in which Levi would plead guilty in exchange for a sentence of 40 years to life. And this was backed by the parents of Libby, as they did not want to relive the murder of their son by going to trial. Also, I want to point out that I think at the time, Libby's grandmother or great-grandmother didn't know that Libby had been murdered. They refused to tell her. And Libby's mother, Esty, they wouldn't tell her. I don't know if she's been told since, but at the time, they wouldn't tell her how he'd been killed. Because, yeah, I mean, which is kind of nice in a way that they're protecting her, but I don't know. Would you want to know?
I guess if she was like quite old, and if she, maybe it would have done her more harm than good, it yeah. might be better to just. I mean, I don't know if she was like used to seeing him all the time, maybe not. But if it was something like, well, she's getting very old now, it's probably yeah. better just not to tell her and let her just not have to live the rest of her life with that.
Definitely. And I think
what a horrible decision to have to make, though.
Exactly. I think they're quite reserved in the religion, too. Like everything just kind of stays with them.
Yeah.
Which, again, is why I think that there's not that many details about this.
Yeah, perhaps.
This case. It's just, like, the odd thing from, like, the New York Times, and that's about it. Because I think, I don't want to say secretive, but I don't think just they like meant it
publicised. Yeah, just like a private kind of community, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely, and that's not a bad thing.
No.
Definitely not. On August 29th, 2012, Judge Neil Firetog sentenced Levi to 25 years to life on second-degree murder and 15 years to life for second-degree kidnapping. And he will be eligible for parole in 2051, 30 years ago. So after Libby's death, business owners have been granted a $500 tax credit for having up-to-date and working security cameras and systems on their premises, after so many failed to do so during the search for Libby. This initiative is known as Libby's Initiative.
Aww.
I know. New York Councilman David Greenfield also brought in Libby's Law, which would see businesses volunteer as safe spaces for children who had got lost or who were in danger, which means they could go into a business and ask for help. And these businesses are ordered to put a green safe haven sticker in the windows. And their employees are subjected to strict background checks.
That's a really nice idea, actually.
Yeah, it's like after such a horrific loss for the community to then have something that would do so much good.
Yeah, just
in,
like that's,
in all communities.
That's his legacy kind of thing.
Yeah. So that was the horrible story of Libby Kletsky. So sad. Yeah, no, we're definitely not energetic, and we are on a complete
different. No, that was a very, just a sad little story, really.
Yeah, definitely. I just think it's, again, like I said before, it's interesting because of the religion and things like the Shomrim that I didn't know about before, that are just volunteers.
Yeah.
And I think I read they get quite a few missing child phone calls every day.
Wow.
Which is horrible. I noticed whenever I've been to America, I've noticed so many times, like when you're driving along highways and stuff, you get all these alerts coming up about children that have been taken, which is wild to me because we live here and we don't generally see things like that. We're not as exposed. We'll just see it on Facebook or maybe on like the regional news, but it's crazy how many kids are kidnapped and you know, killed every year. It's disgusting. Oh, this is like a lie down in a dark room moment.
Yeah. Well, this is, for me, it's going... have a go at someone for playing really loud music on their balcony time.
I was wondering what that music was. I thought it was you.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, just a little bit, like a bit of the bass.
Yeah, I think...
What is it?
I have no idea, but I think someone has recently moved in because there was no one living below me when I first moved in. And I think someone's moved in now because it's been really noisy over the past week.
Oh, God.
And now I can just hear... This is with the door shut as well.
Oh, like, my God.
I can still hear it really clearly. So I'm going to figure out who it is. And I might actually be super brave and go and ask them politely to turn it down. Because, it's just... This is exactly what I wanted to avoid by moving. So if I'm going to have a really noisy neighbour again, I'm just going to not be very happy.
I don't know why people choose to be loud. Especially
when... They don't get it. Like,
no.
They don't realise how much sound travels in flats. Like, it is ridiculous.
I know. I mean, I lived near, like, a semi-detached, but the walls are paper thin, and I'm always really conscious about how much noise we make. Because I know I can hear, like, next door talking, like, having a little conversation.
Oh, wow.
And there's me screaming in my house.
It's not quite that bad, but there's, like, someone was playing, I don't even know what they were doing. I smell really bad cigarette smoke, like, not just as we were doing this. Someone was smoking weed, and I'm just like, for God's sake, this is exactly why I moved out of a city centre. Because I was sick of constantly smelling weed through my window, constantly having noise all the time. And if it's just going to be the same here, then I shall be rather annoyed.
Write a stern email.
And honestly, it's the kind of place where there's like a neighbourhood committee. And if it carries on, some like person will get, you'll get like a snotty letter put under your door. It goes to everybody. Where it'd be like, from, ooh, what was it? Tasty Little Girl by France. Half watching the football now.
The Euros.
Yeah. there's like a residence committee thing. And there's stuff like, it's great to see so many new people moving in. However, we just like to remind people about, we've seen a number of breaches of the lease. And I'm like, this is like neighbourhood watch, isn't it? It's just.
Oh my God, join it.
So I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll do something about this. If it's like a genuinely nuisance neighbour, maybe I'll just get set them on some.
Yeah, send them an email saying there's really bad music being played on the balcony by me.
Well, I don't know if it's, I'm going to go out in a minute. I can't decide if it's coming from the flat above me, the flat below me, or next door. But I noticed, because obviously I can see through the, like, wood panels on my balcony. I noticed below there's some stuff on it now. So I'm like, oh, okay, I think somebody either is moving in or, is just moved in or something. So I'm hoping it's not them because I'm like, it was so nice and quiet when I moved in.
Yeah, see, I can hear it because I thought you were sat on your balcony.
No, inside of the door. I've got the window open. But I closed the door because I thought that's really loud and I can still hear it.
Crazy. Just give them some music recommendations.
It's like crap music as well. Like, I wouldn't mind if it was good music.
It always is crap whenever people are playing music.
It is. It's just never, it's never like decent stuff.
No, it's always generic stuff. TikTok music, I now call it.
What am I? I might do the classic British thing of just going, standing on the balcony and looking annoyed until they stop.
Hands on your hips.
Yeah, exactly. Just being like, this music is ridiculous. And hopefully that they just get the message. But they won't because the music's too loud.
That's the kind of thing I would do.
Or I'll just like, if it's down below, I'll just chuck a little water down the gap.
Oh, yeah. Or ice.
Or oil.
What kind? Olive oil or
No, I'm not wasting my good olive oil. Sunflower.
Sunflower. Brine from the tuna. That'd be a good one. Hide some prawns on their balcony.
Oh, I didn't realise it. Germany got an own goal. I didn't realise it was an own goal. Whoops.
Oh, no.
That's it for him.
Anyway. We'll have to do like a Euros update every week now with me going.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've got to teach me about football now.
I'll try. I don't know. I know a bit about football. Not loads.
But... I know that they kick a ball and it sometimes goes into a net. And they chase it and dive. I actually, in my youth, I loved football. I used to spend my Saturdays watching. It was Grandstand back then. Back in
Grandstand.
The day.
Grandstand,
yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Reading out all the results to my dad. And he was reading the paper. And then I used to have a Man United football kit. And I went to Old Trafford and I was very excited. Back in the Eric Cantona years. And I got his autograph. And that's where... my football knowledge begins and ends. Definitely more into the rugby.
Yeah, you were saying earlier, I've never got into rugby. It's just never been my thing.
If you go to the stadium and watch a game, it's such a good day out. Because no one watches the game, you're just drinking like £10 pints. And then going, oh, is that, did we get a try? Oh. Cheer for the wrong team. But on that note, we might have a special location podcast coming.
Yeah, on location.
We will be on location in a secret location until we record it, and then it won't be a secret.
Yeah, then it will not be a secret.
We'll probably get harassed by passers-by.
Almost certainly.
You know, what are those two goths doing talking about murder? But yeah, everyone, thanks for listening. Sorry we've been away for so long. Summer drains me.
Yep, we'll become a bit more regular, I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I need to actually sit by a laptop and type up cases. But then I just fall asleep on the sofa instead.
Yep, it has been a tiring couple of weeks.
It has. Definitely. It's almost summer holidays for me. Oh,
yay! Excellent.
22 working days left.
Oh my god, that's so good.
Very excited.
Counting down the seconds.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
My god.
So you know the big plan is to write podcasts every day in my summer holidays in the garden. Like some kind of fantasy. It won't happen. I'll leave it all last minute.
Yep.
But yeah, thanks for sticking with us. We love you all. Sorry
yes,
for all the
thank you for listening.
Things.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for the comments and stuff that people send. It's very nice to hear.
It is. We love to be loved and validated. Yeah. But yeah, we'll be back with our location.
Secret location.
Yeah, secret podcast. Location. Yeah. It's location, location, location. We're going house hunting.
We are. So yeah, I will see you in the secret location.
Yeah, I will see you in the secret location in the same outfit.
Absolutely.
So we will see you all next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.